In Tacoma, a modern but short trolley line connects the Tacoma Dome to downtown. Morgan Alexander says these new cars are nice enough, but he yearns for the trolleys you see in old photos.
There was just something magical, you know.
Alexander owns a cafe and is a bit of a community activist. A few years ago, he started wondering about Tacoma's streetcar past.
And so I went to the library, and they have a whole book of the old maps. It really is amazing.
It was a revelation, spreading out a map showing streetcars going everywhere. What if, he started wondering.
What would have happened if they hadn't been torn up?
That's how he became a Tacoma streetcar crusader. The city is actually studying the feasibility of extending its streetcar, which could cost about $20 million per mile. It raises the question, how wonderful was that bygone era?
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell.
In the early 1900s, just about any city had electric streetcars.
They were privately developed as basically a way to sell land outside the central cities.
Scott Rutherford teaches transportation planning at the University of Washington.
There was no good way to travel there, so developers built them.
And electric companies, too. By the 1920s, dozens of separate lines consolidated into transit systems. That's when Paul and Ted Edquist started riding it in Seattle from their home in Alki.
And it was a thrill ride to downtown. The conductor would open it wide up, and they were starting to not do very good rail repair then, I guess. That streetcar used to rock and roll through there.
Paul is 88, and his older brother Ted is 90.
And the seats were very slick. And if you're a little boy with short pants and that car bounces and swerves, you're slipping off the seat all the time.
They enjoyed the noisy ride, but the system was in trouble in Seattle as in many cities. Looking at newspaper clippings from the 1930s, it sounds like the recent debate over the Alaskan Way Viaduct, the streetcars were falling apart. They could only charge a nickel a ride, not enough to cover maintenance. Critics used words like tired and decrepit. Defenders said all the streetcars needed was a little refurbishing. Politicians went back and forth for at least a decade. Meanwhile, they were losing riders to the cool, sleek, modern technologies, cars and buses. Professor Rutherford says General Motors and Standard Oil were pushing buses over streetcars nationally. Advertisements portrayed buses as the wave of the future.
And they made them sound sexy, and people that bought those systems were sort of modern.
In 1938, Tacoma scrapped all of its trolleys and bragged it was the first city in the West with a completely modern bus system. In Seattle, the bitter political fight continued, even as the streetcars faced bankruptcy. Finally, in the late 1930s, new mayor Alfred Langley accepted a federal bailout loan. It required the city to switch to buses. The mayor explained they had no choice.
As you know, our transportation system for a number of years has been in very bad shape. We didn't know how much longer we might be able to continue to operate the present system. But we did know that it couldn't be for very long.
By April of 1941, Seattle had ripped up 230 miles of streetcar tracks, melting them into steel for the war effort, and becoming the largest city in the country at that time to have no streetcars. They got the electric bus system we still have today. Fast forward to the 21st century, and streetcars are once again coveted by developers. In Seattle, property owners paid half the cost of building this modern streetcar line from downtown to South Lake Union. They're touting it as a neighborhood amenity because now it's streetcars, not buses, that are cool and modern. Keith Seinfeld, KPLU News.
Ding, ding, ding went my heartstrings as we started for Huntington Bell.